All right, once again, as previously stated, we are so happy that we are hearing from Elder Paul Price. The title of the message, very unique title, Watermelon Faith. Yes, I said Watermelon Faith. I'm looking forward to see what this is about. I'm sure you are as well. It was preached or taught at a general conference back in 1971. So we're going to go ahead and begin to play the first half of it tonight. But we first want to give thanks to Brother Jacob Roseberry, who has been so diligent to be able to record these messages and put them onto our system here on the conference call. So let's go ahead and begin with Elder Paul Price, Watermelon Faith. Here we go.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Well, it finally comes to this night. We've had a wonderful time. God has been with us. We've enjoyed every minute of it, even the business session. And I believe the Holy Ghost has something to send us away from this place that will carry this all the way back across the country. We're talking about a Revival Now program. Revival Now program. Well, call it whatever you want, whether it's a program or what, we're wanting a revival. But I'm asking God tonight to somehow help us. There must be a grain of faith that could come into our hearts, that could burst forth in our spirits, that we'll leave this place with a greater portion of power with God to break in upon this world that we live in today. I believe God's calling for a revival. We're not in this by just a program. We didn't start this just to be able to have something to do. I believe it's a day and an hour when the Holy Ghost is preparing to make one last move, give this world one more chance to bow its knee and call on God. We're living in the day, I believe, the most momentous moment of all history, where the blend together between Noah and Sodom. We'll have all of that in our one generation. But we've got what they didn't have, and that's Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord! We have a now God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say it with me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want you to say it this time and put in that word today. Let's put now. Now. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, right now, and tomorrow. My friend, until we pull Christ out of history, out of the past, and out of the future, and put him in the now, we'll still be talking about revival. We've got to have a now experience with God. We've got to have a touch with the Lord that's right now. I can preach about yesterday and we'll shout about it. Preach about heaven tomorrow, we'll shout about it. But brother, what I want is something right now. Hallelujah. I'm going back home. And I want to carry a now experience burning in my soul that I can say he's right now. Hallelujah. Say it once more. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, now, and forever. My friend, I can spend a lot of time here talking about both ends of this, but I'm more interested in the right now. They went through the Red Sea, that thrills me, but I want to walk right now through the battlegrounds of this world and see Almighty God raise up a standard. Hallelujah, it's today. I'm glad about heaven. I'm glad about the future, but I'm more interested in what's going to happen right now. Praise the Lord. Some of you have come with problems and some have sicknesses and afflictions. And I hope and pray that we can take this service for instantaneous movings of the Holy Ghost. It works right now. Every man of faith had to believe that. And I'm asking God to help us to believe it tonight. I want that faith that breaks out of the past, pull it back from the future, and jam-pack it right into the present. This is what revival is all about. It's a now experience. I'm going to ask you to read with me just for a few verses of Scripture, and I don't care if you don't even read them. Just let me read two or three here. In Judges the 6th chapter, "And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them." This happened every year, you see. Then I want to read on, skip the verse or two. "Israel was greatly impoverished, and they began to cry unto the Lord." And then, picking it up again, "And the Lord spoke to Gideon these words, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all of this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, that thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" My friend, tonight, as I ask you to pray over this thought, I'm going to pray that the Lord will bring to us again that same kind of faith that Gideon had, that he could bring again the mighty revival that saved Israel in their day. Our Father, we call upon your name. We call upon your Spirit, your Word, and your presence, and your power. Oh God, walk up and down in our minds and in our hearts. Wash our thinking away from all the other problems tonight, and help us to see the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Unveil to us tonight that which is most necessary. May we see the living Christ in a mighty way. We need you tonight. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and praise the Lord. You may be seated. Somehow when I looked in the Scriptures and tried to understand faith, I don't know that I understand all that I read. There's some things about it that I just don't know how to put in words. I've witnessed it operating. I've noticed it when it happened. I know when it's there and when it isn't. And I can't quite explain it all, but there's one little common denominator that I have also noticed, that men of faith in the Bible were men that were able to take the dead letter that was dead to the unbeliever and pick it up out of the ink and out of the paper and translate it into living life and produce definite results. Even in the very pages of the past, and I look at Abraham. It was Abraham that was sparked with a spark of faith. And my friend, when that happened to him, it did something that he just couldn't stay there any longer. He had to act upon it. The unbelief around him didn't kill his faith. You see, faith outlives unbelief. Faith stands on the tomb of unbelief and says, I told you so. Faith doesn't depend upon the multitudes to back it up. It depends upon one fact, that God's Word said it so. There is a faith that says, if He said it, it works. There is a law of God that operates faith, that operates the activity of God. If I know how to use that law and cooperate with it, then I have found that secret that can make it operate. I do not believe faith is a great struggle and straining. I think faith is that substance that causes you to flow in the natural channels of God's divine supernatural. We cannot take the flesh and make a supernatural happening. We cannot take the carnal mind and educate it to know what faith is. Faith is that simple belief that can take the word that's given and translate it into action. The woman spoke about the lady that prayed for a man. He was brought back to life again. That sounds fantastic to our minds. Yet in that simple little faith of that little lady in Africa, she believed in the mighty God that that could happen. But somehow in our minds, we've been around Pentecost and among Pentecostal folks, there's a certain little crust of unbelief that's built around our thinking. We put God in a little cubicle someplace, or a little four walls, and we say He's got to work in these four walls. But somehow there's a burning in my soul. There's a world cry burning down deep in my heart that this world must hear this gospel. And yet I look and see the little small number we may represent. But somehow there's a cry of faith that says this world shall know the conqueror's tread. We're living in a day when we're going to see the miraculous hand of the living God. My text tonight, I want to refer to it. Jesus said, when the disciples went to cast out the devils, and they could not do this, and they returned and disappointed, but He gave them the formula. He said, it's as the grain of a mustard seed. He said to them that if you have the faith as the grain of a mustard seed. And I looked at that the second time. It said, if I had the faith of a mustard seed. Interpret it your way if you want. But somehow I got a different interpretation. Just a few minutes ago. Read the book. He said that little grain of mustard seed had faith. And tonight I didn't bring a mustard seed, but I brought a watermelon seed. I had to get a seed from something. And I'm going to let that seed preach to us tonight about the power and the glory of God. Just one little seed. I'll get him out so I can talk to him. Can you see him? He's here. Because I see him. He said, if you've got faith like that watermelon seed, you can move a mountain. You can evangelize the world. You can reach the world with this gospel if you've got the faith of that seed. In fact, this little fellow brags pretty big on the outside of the package. He showed me the size of the watermelon he's going to produce. And he doesn't even look like a watermelon. I'm looking at you, but you're everything but what this picture shows. The picture shows a striped watermelon. It's red on the inside with speckled seeds and a white rind and a green outside with stripes on it. And fella, you don't even represent what you're talking about. You don't even look like a watermelon. But I sure feel like one. I tell you this, that little seed says I'm a watermelon. Whether you believe it or not, he believes he's a watermelon. He may not favor your brand of watermelon, but he's a real watermelon right there. In fact, he'll step up to this platform and preach you a message so positive that you couldn't hardly believe what you're hearing. You see, this little seed has faith. Yeah. In fact, he's got enough faith that he says that if I can be handled just right, I can fill the world with watermelons. Yeah. I can do it. If you'll put me where I can cooperate with the laws of God and the power of the Holy Ghost, and the law of the Holy Ghost, I can have watermelons all over the world. Fella, you talk pretty big for your size. And I tell you for sure, I don't believe you can do it. And now they talk about revival and sending this gospel to all over the world and to Red China and Russia and all the rest of it. And unbelief says, I don't believe you can do it. But the apostolic church has got them burning on the inside that says, we can. It can be done. If you follow the laws of reproduction, the world will hear the gospel. But the moment the seed stays inside these four walls and wrapped up in this package that looks pretty on the outside, my friend, it'll never reach the world. It may look like a watermelon from the picture, but it satisfies nobody. We can advertise our shouting, our glory, and our rejoicing all we want, but somebody has got to get their teeth on the inside of the real goods. Hallelujah! He has no fear. All he has to do is be willing to cooperate with the law of God. Glory. 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 He does not look to his own ability. He cannot explain all of this that's going on. And so here's what our analytical minds want to do. We'll take the Word of God and try to bisect and trisect and open it all up and see how it works. I could take and bite into this thing and try to chew into it, look on the inside. I still have no secret of the mystery. The mystery is the invisible force on the inside. It's called life. It's life. Brother, if this gospel is preached, it'll bring life. And if you don't care the life, you are a dead seed. You aren't a seed. You're a hull. You got to have life inside. Somehow, when I look at this, and it says, I'll teach you what faith is. And unbelief says to this little fella, you can brag all you want, but I don't believe you. You get me out of here and put me in the earth where I can die. We have spent so long talking about dying and death. The early church didn't talk about his death as much as we do. I'm not doing away with Calvary. But the Bible said, and with great power gave they witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The best thing that people could talk about is the new life, the powerful life, the Holy Ghost. The life that was within these people testified for the glory of God. This little fellow here is not afraid to die. He wants to die. He's made to die. He's put in here to plant in the earth to come forth, to spring forth and produce not just one seed, but 5,000 of them. Now, wait a minute. You're getting way off on the deep end. We haven't had a revival in 40 years. And the last time somebody prayed through was way back yonder when we worked with them for 20 years getting one prayed through. And I don't believe you can have a revival. Yes. If you plant the seed, you can. But you can't have a revival bragging on the front page of the outside coloring of this paper. There's no life in the outside hull of this thing. There's no life in the outside hull of this. Go down there and scratch a hole in the ground about an inch and a half and drop him in and put your foot on him and walk over him and put a little stick on top of the ground and say, there's where I planted him. I told you couldn't have a revival. But you put a little moisture down there and get that sun begin to work on it. And all of a sudden that little fellow goes to feeling some movement down underneath there. Praise the Lord. Man, all of a sudden he feels something begin to happen on the inside of that hull. He goes up peeling off his coat and laying it aside. Said, we're about to have a revival. Brother, if we'll learn how to die, we'll learn how to live. This church was planted with death. Death always comes before life. You'll never have life until you have death. We'll never have revival until we have a dying out, a crucifying, a laying down, unselfishly giving ourselves for the glory of God. There's no revival until there's a dying out. Somehow I believe there's been a call in my soul when he called for this Revival Now program that's gone across the country. I believe in my heart that every Christian, you may be one that's already 10 feet deep in the Lord. You might be 100 feet deep in the Lord. And some may be only 2 feet deep. But I believe this kind of revival must move you to a deeper depth, no matter how deep you are. Sometimes we can almost feel justified to stand up and condemn somebody else because we feel we're more spiritual. But this Holy Ghost revival says, go down deeper, go down deeper, go down deeper, and let's have a revival. Revival will come. It will come. You can walk back in a few days and look on the ground and say, well, there he is. He's bragged a whole lot, but I don't see anything happening. That's because unbelief never sees what God's doing. Down there about an inch and a half under the ground, there's quite a bit of things going on. You don't see it, but it's going on. And if you listen real carefully, we'll hear what's going on down there. You know what's happening down there? He's having a board meeting right now. He's organizing himself for revival.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
All right.
Yes, he is.
Praise the Lord.
I can hear him sitting down at the table and planning out. He hasn't even come out of the ground. He said, I'm going to hire me a home missionary program that can put these roots down about 10 feet deep and 40 feet wide and spread out big because I'm going to have 10 runners. I'm going to reach all parts of this patch. I'm going to have 14 watermelons on those vines. Well, you haven't even come out of the ground yet. I know, but I'm coming. I'm so glad the Lord doesn't harvest every time you want to harvest. He calls in a bunch of engineers and he said, I want you to set me up a program whereby we won't be out of balance. I got big ideas and I don't want to wind up with the top heavy. So make it so I've got plenty of root system and outline me some runners and some channels out here. I want to go to Brazil. I want to go to Africa. And I'm going to reach over to Asia. I'm going to reach over to the Philippines. Say, wait a minute. You're going to go too far. No. Well, you're organizing the top ground. I've got the other organization going to the bottom ground, and I wanted to go together. Every time we move in a new country, I want 500 churches in America to back up those new countries. So build deeper.
Hey, Lord. Let's go.
Then I'm going to call me a whole corps of chemists in. Because I want my watermelons to be the sweetest, the juiciest, and the reddest of any that's ever been produced. I want them to taste right, look right, and be right. And I want you fellas to make them look good. Plant it well. I don't want a sour one in the bunch. Because I've advertised it's juicy and sweet. And I said it's wonderful. I said, I bragged on this before I ever started. And I'm counting the cost. I don't want you chemists to be stingy on the sugar. Make it sweet. I want you to make it look appetizing. I want it to be so that folks want it. We're not forcing this on anybody. We're going to make them so hungry for it they couldn't wait to get to the table and taste a good smack of it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord! Brother, I tell you, when you organize a thing like that from the grassroots up, it can't help but be a success. It's going to work. Oh, yeah, I hear some folks say, well, I don't believe in organization. Well, Les Wallbenham does. He sure believes in it. You don't find him getting mixed up between the Rhine and the vine. Everybody stays in the right places. Somebody said, I don't see, in your business session, I can't see the Holy Ghost in that. Oh, I sure do. That's a book of Acts, if ever I did see it. You see, in the book of Acts, they had, near the church, got a problem that couldn't settle out on the field. Nobody could solve it. It was an argument out there, everywhere they went. There was an argument over that. They called a general convention to meet there in Jerusalem, and there they had a session, just like we had today.
You can hear him say, "Mr. Chairman," just like we did today. Until they got the floor. And they disputed with each other. I can see them clamoring to be heard. Just like us. I can see the Lord looking down over the banisters of heaven at his church, and the angels say, "Lord, is that your church?" He said, "That's mine." "You mean to say that's the kind of people you've got?" "Oh, yeah." "Well, they'll tear the whole thing up the way they argued today." "Oh, no, they won't. They'll fix it up yet. They'll settle off after a while." "Aren't you afraid they might mess things up?" "No, I'm not afraid." "You mean you let your church talk to each other like that?" "Oh, yeah, I let them talk like that." That's just as much Bible as what I'm doing right here. If you don't believe in organization, then you're a freewheeler. If there is organization, there's authority, there's government, there's laws and bylaws. You can't get away from it. This little seed tells his whole organization, "I don't want all of you to be engineers. I don't want all of you to be the roots. I don't want all of you to be the vine. I don't want all of you to be the... I'm going to produce a whole combination of it all." I believe in organization. But organization is on the harness. And what we've done here at this convention is got adjusted the harnesses and tightened up on the traces and kind of tightened the collar belt a little better and kind of went around to all the workhorses and got them all geared up again. And when we say amen tonight, you'll hear the whip crack and say, "Get up." We harness them, the forces that we have available, and we intend to pull this load until next general conference. That's organization.
Praise God.
You can walk by that little piece of ground in about a week. You can look down where you planted that. All that's been going on down below, you didn't know what was going on. The world doesn't know what we planned for them already. But brother, we got it planned. One bright morning when that sun peeks over the mountain and puts that heat on, all of a sudden that blade shoots out of the ground about 2 or 3 inches up in the air and says, "Praise the Lord! I'm a watermelon!" Unbelief says you haven't made it yet, but oh, I'm on my way. Hallelujah! I got my shingle out. I'm advertising to the world. I'm in the watermelon business. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We told the world we're in the soul-saving business. We told the world we're going to go to the end of the earth with this gospel. And brother, we've got our shingle hanging out there, and we mean to back it up. Praise the Lord. You talk mighty big to be so small. We don't brag. We just produce. Just give a little time and let God's time work in cooperation with the law of God, and you'll have what you're looking for. Someone said, "We haven't had a revival yet." Maybe not in your church, but 1,000 more have. Someone says, "It's not going to work." It's working over there. Some say it can't be. Well, why do you explain this? He's out of the ground. He's growing. You come back in a month and a half, and he's covered a half acre out there. You can argue with him all you want and say, "Look, you still haven't produced watermelons. All I can see are little nubbins out there." But I tell you, they're in the making. Don't pick it yet. It's still not ready. But my friend, this little thing here believes in a now God, and it waits on God for the full harvest, and there will be a harvest. There will be a harvest. One thing about this law of this seed is this. It'll be the same in China, Africa, Asia, as it is in America. You can plant this anywhere. Where can you grow? Anywhere there's ground and soil that you can put some water on and give me some sun. I have no choice. Plant me in Asia. Plant me in Africa. Plant me anywhere you want. But I'll guarantee you, I'll produce the same kind that you planted. Brother, you can be an apostolic if you're in Africa. You can be an apostolic right here in America. But I believe when we go overseas and visit our missionaries, we ought to see the same kind of apostolics we see in America. And I want to say, in our little short visit to South America, I was impressed with every congregation, even through an interpreter. When you preach about the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus, you've got a hallelujah response. They believe in the new birth. They believe in the baptism in Jesus' name. They believe in speaking in tongues. They believe the same apostolic gospel. And I don't think it'll change when you change countries. That melon won't blend with anything. Plant out in the middle of a corn patch. It won't be corn. You can plant it down there in the swamps. You can plant it out here in the grass or wherever you want to. It'll still be the same kind. It has in it the substance that reproduces after its kind. Brother, if you don't believe it, after about 3 months, dig it out of there, that box. Get out of that box. Out of that box. In 3 months' time or so, you go back, and I want you to go over the patch and take a look and see if this fellow's done what he asked, what he said he's going to do. Brother Lord. Oh, there he is. Well, we got it. I want home missions to open it up and see if it looks like the real McCoy. I don't want any fakes about this thing. We want to see the real McCoy. If it's going to advertise the goods, it ought to have it on the inside. Just like the book said. It ought to be the same thing the book said. My friend, on the inside of your life ought to be the same thing in the book. Hallelujah. Glory! Believe you me, it smells good.
Give me that now.
Brother, I want foreign missions to open up the other one over there on that table over there. If this thing will change on us on that same vine, we want to get rid of the seed. We don't want the same kind of seed. If it isn't all the same, say, here it is. It's grown a little bit larger out there, but it ought to be the same thing. Brother, if that'll work in Africa, it'll work anywhere. There it is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, church. Wow. Well, I hope that everyone has felt the anointing that we've been feeling here in hearing Elder Paul Price. At the beginning of this, I told you that I was broadcasting from my car, and not for the greatest reason, but I got to tell you, I'm having a Holy Ghost service here in my car. The reason I'm in my car, church, is because there's no power at the church today. And the reason for that, of course, is because of all the winds that took place today. And just today we were talking about this, about everything the church has gone through, COVID, the fires, now the winds, and now there's no power at the church, and all kinds of issues that are taking place. Well, church, our pastor said it the other day on a message that right now we're learning how to walk by faith, and what a timely message. Woo, we're feeling it right now. What a timely message that we're hearing from Elder Paul Price. I'm a watermelon. Go ahead and say it, church. All of you, just say it. I'm a watermelon. Praise God. One of the things that Brother Paul Price said is that faith outlives unbelief. When I heard that, church, something exploded inside of me. Faith outlives unbelief. Church, with everything that we're going through right now, the things that cause doubt and fear, unbelief, just remember, it's not going to last long. Faith, hallelujah, is going to outlive that unbelief. put me in the earth so I can die, he said. And that's exactly what needs to take place, church. If you can plant the seed, you can have revival, Brother Paul Price said. And if we learn how to die, we will learn how to live. And you know how that's going to happen, church? At the altar. When we can learn how to die at the altar, we're going to learn how to live, how to be reborn at the altar. And he said, now. It's happening now, church. It's happening now. With everything that's taking place, it's happening now, church. I don't want to rehash, re-preach this message that Brother Paul Price preached so beautifully. Church, why don't we just thank God together right now for what we've just heard and for the faith that God is putting in us anew. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the voice of our elder. We thank you for the voice of Elder Paul Price. Lord God, this message was preached in 1971, but it's for us today. It's now. It's for us now to today, Lord God. Help us to grasp a hold of it. Oh, don't let it go over our heads, but let us grab it, Lord. Help us to grab a hold of this message of faith today. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise God, church. If you want to continue to have a prayer meeting in your home as soon as we hang up, please continue to pray and get a hold of God. And we'll see you on this call tomorrow morning at 10:15 with Brother Israel. God bless all of you. Have a great night. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus.